To, da ti vladajo, pomeni,
da te nadzirajo,
opazujejo,
indoktrinirajo,
pridigajo,
ocenjujejo,
presojejo,
cenzurirajo
in ukazujejo ljudje,
ki nimajo za to ne pravice, ne znanja in ne vrline.
Da ti vladajo, pomeni, da si
registriran,
popisan,
obdavčen,
označen,
patentiran,
odpuščen,
preprečevan,
reformiran,
kaznovan.
Pomeni tudi, da si pod pretvezo javne koristi in splošnega interesa
dresiran,
ogoljufan,
izkoriščan,
monopoliziran,
izsiljevan,
izžeman,
varan,
okraden. Pri najmanjšem znaku odpora ali ugovoru
te zatrejo,
kaznujejo,
zaničujejo,
nadlegujejo,
preganjajo,
zmerjajo,
potolčejo,
razorožijo,
zadušijo,
zaprejo,
ustrelijo,
obsodijo,
preženejo,
žrtvujejo,
prodajo,
izdajo.
In da bi bila mera polna, te še smešijo, slepijo, sramotijo in onečastijo.
Črna luknja!
Dobar dan, z vami je spet Črna luknja. Kljub počitnicam bomo rekli nekaj o novicah, bomo imeli novico iz ulic Srbije, kjer se odvijajo delovske demonstracije, na to pa sledi intervju iz foruma proti nepotrebnim megaprojektom. Sledi par predlogov za aktivne počitnice, nam pa se mudi, ker imamo na liniji že tovariša iz Srbije, tako da umestnik, na to pa takoj pogovor o dogajanju v Srbiji in iz delovskih demonstracij.
Anarhistična okrožnica.
Z nami je Ratibor iz Asija, srbskega anarhosindikata. Trenutno zaostalo delovsko klaso protestira v Beogradu proti novi delovski zakonodaji, ki bo zelo okrnila pravice delavcev. Rata, da li se slišimo?
Slažemo se, čujemo se, dakle, doduše malo slabije. Ja sam se sklonio sada u neki prolaz da bi mogu da iskomuniciram sa vama par minuta pa da se vratim dalje na protest.
Ok, kaži nam, što se dešava?
Ovako, trenutno je oko 10.000 ljudi na centralnim beogradskim ulicama. Blokirali smo centralnu beogradsku ulicu Maršala Tita, odnosno sada ima neko drugo ime. Tu se nalazi jedno od ministarstva i nastavlja se dalje, ide se ka parlamentu gdje će se zahtevati da se ovaj zakon čije usvajanje najavljeno za naredne dane zaustavi, jer je naravno potpuno kriminalan, seče radnička prava na svakom nivou i to je apsolutno neprihvatljivo. Sa druge strane, ono što je obeležilo celu stvar je vrlo žestoka kampanja vladajuće klase protiv protesta. Nikada do sada mi nismo vidjeli u posljednjih 20 godina ovakvu kampanju demonizacije protesta. Znači, tu se demonizuju i obični žuti sindikati koji se predstavljaju kao korumpirani i tako dalje, i sa druge strane se ljudi koji su politički aktivni demonizuju. Na naslovnim stranicama novina su face nas iz anarhosindikata i drugih ljudi u protestu sa naslovima tipa banda ruši državu i tako dalje, jer pokušava da se kaže da smo mi sad svi tu došli da zovemo haos, a ne da se zapravo izborimo za dostojanstvo i prava radnika.
E, kako to upliva na atmosferu? Su radnici ljuti, kako se osjećaju u tej kampanji protiv njih?
Radnici su vrlo besni i jako veliki broj ljudi prilazi nama zato što su kroz medije koji su trebali da nas prikažu negativno shvatili da smo mi najradikalniji. Pa onda prilaze da se uključe i da daju svoj udeo i da bi nekako taj bez mogli da kanališu.
Da li se prave neke direktne akcije možda?
Mi smo upravo na protestu, pa ne bih mogao sada o tim detaljima, da ne bi, jer mislim, evo oko mene stoje policajci, tako da ne bih pričao sad na tu temu.
Ok, Rata, puno ti hvala.
Ništa. Puno pozdrav za sve radnice i radnike u Sloveniji, solidarnost je snaga svih nas zajedno.
Evo, mi smo solidarni sa vama.
To, hvala puno.
Ćao.
Pozdrav.
V nadaljevanju bomo poslušali daljši intervju, ponovno smo koristili mrežo anarhističnih radijev. Tokrat si bomo sposodili intervju tovarišije anarhističnega radija Berlin, ki je z Bogdanom iz Romunije posnela prispevek o četrtem forumu proti nepotrebnim megaprojektom. Mrežo, ki povezuje ljudi vpete v boje proti infrastrukturnim, rudniškim in fracking projektom v Evropi in širše. Zadnje srečanje je potekalo maja v Rošija Montani. v romunski regiji, kjer aktivisti že več kot leto dni vztrajajo v boju proti izkopu največjega odprtega rudnika zlata v Evropi. V intervjuju bomo slišali nekaj o pripravah na srečanje, o smernicah delovanja mreže v prihodnje, dobili pa bomo tudi hiter pregled razvoja tamkajšnjih lokalnih bojev proti rudniku zlata. Morda zanimivejši del intervjuja govori o problemu vključevanja strank v socialne boje od spodaj in kako so k tej problematiki pristopili na tamkajšnjem srečanju. Obiskali so jih namreč nedobrodošli gostje iz Nemčije. Vsekakor gre za zanimiv intervju, s katerim se da povleči veliko lokalnih usporednic. Verjetno vsi poznamo že več kot desetleten boj zasavcev proti Lafargeu, kjer se je pokazalo, na kateri strani na relaciji ljudje-kapital stoji oblast. V Pomurju poskušajo začeti s frackingom, čez naravni park na Kraso potegniti železnico, drugi ter, medtem ko o mega projektu T6 raje ne bomo izgubljali besed. Začnimo z intervjujem.
Sagen Sie jetzt mal bitte
Anarchie.
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 Ob geschichtlich oder brandaktuell?
Mit Berichten und Interviews, mit Beiträgen und Collagen
beleuchtet das anarchistische Radio Berlin das Phänomen des Anarchismus.
Viva Anarchie!
Welcome.
Hey.
Hello.
We are here with Bogdan. You were part of the organizing group of the fourth forum against unnecessary imposed mega projects that took place from the 8th to the 11th of May in Rosamontana in Romania.
Yes, I was part of the group that took care of to organize this forum in Romania, in Rosamontana. And yeah, I was in touch with the other groups and also took care of the logistics on the spot where we had the forum.
Okay, could you tell us something about the forum? What is this forum?
This is a forum that started 4 years ago. It happens every year in a different place of struggle in Europe, and it gathers people involved in all the big struggles around Europe and beyond. It started as a forum against the big infrastructure projects in Europe, and during the fourth edition, we introduced two more thematics, which is mining and fracking. Every year a new location is chosen, and during the third edition that happened in Stuttgart, it was decided that the next one will happen in Romania. So we took the initiative to organize it, and it went really nice.
Okay, before we talk more concretely about the forum in Romania, I would like to know, the forum is called against unnecessary imposed mega projects. What means unnecessary and what means imposed?
I think that in all the big fights, these two words are really important, because most of the times the big projects that are proposed are just unnecessary, because it just help a few people, a few companies to make money, but actually doesn't really help the people in the areas that are affected by the project, and is not also bringing any help on long term. So that's why is this word there in the name. And imposed, because with the help of the authorities and the governments, they always try to make these projects work. So they, in the end, try to impose them to the people, even if they don't want them to happen. And all these people that fight against, I think they just feel that it's imposed to them. So that's why they fight.
And what kind of projects are those? Can you name some examples?
Yeah, so as I said, it started as a big forum of the big infrastructure project struggles, like against them. These are the high-speed train that's happening in Italy, train station in Stuttgart. And then it's the airport in Notre-Dame-de-Lande that they want to build. And also now we talk about the biggest open pit gold mine project that is proposed in Europe, in Romania, and fracking, which is a problem that now kind of appears everywhere in Europe. So this kind of project we talked about. It's also like from Morocco It's also a high-speed train there. And there are problems with the forest in Turkey. All these kind of projects, I think they have what's similar to all of them is that they are unnecessary and imposed. So we tried to all get together and see how we can work together to stop them because we have similar problems, even if the projects are different.
You mentioned now projects in Morocco and Turkey. The third forum, as I read, was still called European Forum. Has this changed?
Yes, this changed. We decided not to include European anymore in the name of the forum, starting with the fourth edition, because there were always people invited from outside Europe. So we just kept it to the Forum Against Useless and Imposed Mega Projects. It's always the same problem everywhere, so European was useless in this case.
Okay, thank you. Then on the forum itself, did then participants from these social movements come and gather, or how was it organized internally?
There are organizations that are involved in organizing the forum in the past, or organizations that helped organizing the forum until now. So all these groups were invited, but also we tried to send the message that the forum is happening as far as possible. So we collected contacts of journalists, groups that are working on the mining issues, on fracking issues, especially on Eastern Europe. We tried to get people from there together. So we invited everybody, and then people just subscribed, confirmed, and around 300 people were there. We did a program also together on the spot. It was a program proposed, but then everybody that participated could propose something. So a lot of different themes were discussed during the forum with all these groups.
Considering that the forum took place in Rosa Montagna, which is actually just a small village in nowhere in Romania, this seems like a really mammoth project, infrastructure challenge. How did you manage to do this?
Okay. In Rosa Montana, we, and then I say we, it's a group of people that were involved in doing other events in the past, like we do a big festival every year exactly on that place and organize camps together there before. So for us, it was a little bit of challenge, but actually it's a self-organized camp. And in the end, everything went fine, even if it's on the top of the mountain. It was fine. There is an infrastructure group now that is forming in Romania. And this group helped a lot to build the camp. And then it was a kitchen collective that helped with the food, a vegan kitchen collective. Then it was easy. We just split the responsibilities and we did it. It was okay. It was not so hard to do it in the end.
Well, regarding the 300 participants and the different places where they came from, I would think that still the translation issue would be the worst nightmare.
Yeah,
was this, it a nightmare?
This was an issue always during the forum, and it was a point that took a lot of energy. We also had to translate the website in 6 languages, and this was kind of a challenge to do it in time all the time and make it like also the invitation and everything. We translated everything even in Arab language. So this was hard to do, but we managed to do it. And during the forum, of course, there were participants from all the countries. We had 5 different languages that people spoke during the forum, but we managed it because also we had the help of a newly formed interpretation and translation collective from Romania, and with the help of this group that has do-it-yourself equipment, and we also had a small help from a friend with some more equipment, we managed to ensure simultaneous interpretation in 2 locations in 5 languages during the whole forum. So this worked really good. Everybody was happy about this, and I think the level of discussions was much better because of that. We had professional interprets, and they all came by volunteering to help the forum. So it worked really, really good in the end. We thought it's gonna be hard, but in the end it was good, really good.
Well, this really sounds great.
I'll start with this poem. I wrote this poem when the bombs were dropping on Gaza, and I was the media spokesperson for the coalition, doing a lot of the organizing. And we had stayed up to about 6 o'clock in the morning, perfecting every soundbite. And by the end, if you're Palestinian, you know most Palestinians get tired and start pronouncing our P's as B's. So we become Palestinians by the end of the day. So I was practicing my P's all night. And the next morning, one of the journalists asked me, don't you think it would all be fine if you just stopped teaching your children to hate? I did not insult the person, I was very polite, but I wrote this poem as a response to these types of questions we Palestinians always get. Today, my body was a TV'd massacre. Today, my body was a TV'd massacre that had to fit into sound bites and word limits. Today, my body was a TV'd massacre that had to fit into sound bites and word limits, filled enough with statistics to counter measured response. And I perfected my English and I learned my UN resolutions. But still, he asked me, Ms. Ziada, don't you think everything would be resolved if you would just stop teaching so much hatred to your children? Pause. I look inside of me for strength to be patient, but patience is not at the tip of my tongue as the bombs drop over Gaza. Patience has just escaped me. Pause. Smile. We teach life, sir. Rafif, remember to smile. Pause. We teach life, sir. We Palestinians teach life after they have occupied the last sky. We teach life after they have built their settlements and apartheid walls. After the last skies, we teach life, sir. But today, my body was a TV'd massacre made to fit into sound bites and word limits. And just give us a story, a human story. You see, this is not political. We just want to tell people about you and your people. So give us a human story. Don't mention that word apartheid and occupation. This is not political. You have to help me as a journalist to help you tell your story, which is not a political story. Today, my body was a TV'd massacre. How about you give us a story of a woman in Gaza who needs medication? How about you? Do you have enough bone broken limbs to cover the sun? Hand me over your dead and give me the list of their names in 1,200 word limits. Today, my body was a TV'd massacre made to fit into sound bites and word limits and move those that are desensitized to terrorist blood. But they felt sorry. They felt sorry for the cattle over Gaza. So I give them UN resolutions and statistics, and we condemn and we deplore and we reject. And these are not two equal sides, occupier and occupied, and 100 dead, 200 dead, and 1,000 dead. And between that war crime and massacre, I vent out words and smile, not exotic, smile, not terrorist. And I recount 100 dead, 200 dead, 1,000 dead. Is anyone out there? Will anyone listen? I wish I could wail over their bodies. I wish I could just run barefoot in every refugee camp and hold every child, cover their ears so they wouldn't have to hear the sound of bombing for the rest of their life the way I do. Today, my body was a TV'd massacre. And let me just tell you, there is nothing your UN resolutions have ever done about this. And no soundbite I come up with, no matter how good my English gets, no soundbite will bring them back to life. No soundbite will fix this. We teach life, sir. We teach life, sir. We Palestinians wake up every morning to teach the rest of the world life, sir.
Še zmeraj smo v Črni luknji, slišali smo palestinsko slam poezijo, ki naslavlja tudi trenutno situacijo v Palestini, vendar več o temu kasneje. Sicer pa še zmeraj tudi poslušamo prispevek o četrtem forumu proti nepotrebnim megaprojektom, mrežo, ki povezuje ljudi vpete v boje proti infrastrukturnim, rudniškim in fracking projektom v Evropi in širše. Sledi del, ki govori o problematiki vmešavanja strank v avtonomna horizontalna gibanja. Poslušajmo.
In any case, I heard there was some discomfort with the participation of political parties in the past at the forum. Was this an issue?
I didn't participate to the other three editions of the forum, but at this edition, this subject was brought into discussion because, of course, the Save Roche Montana campaign always stand aside from the political parties, and we never got connected with the political parties in any way. So when during the forum one specific political party from Germany came and they tried to make some propaganda for their party. Of course, this was a problem for the local context. And then we raised this issue and we figured it out that actually it's a problem that it's from the past also, and it affects not just the Sevres-Chamontana campaign now, but on every time would affect other fights that are not connected with the political parties and that want to remain independent. So we had a plenary about this with everybody, and we talked about the involvement of political parties and political associations in the forum. And the decision at the end of this plenary was that from now on, the political parties will not be allowed to participate in the forum. Like, people can participate on their own if they want, but not as a group, as a political party or association. So this, I think, from my point of view, was a big achievement of the forum and a step forward for what is going to happen from in the future. People were happy about this decision. And I think people didn't talk about it until now, and that's why there were problems maybe in the past, the same problems. So, yeah, I think through talking about these issues, because it's kind of obvious that if a political party affects certain struggle campaign, then it can't be together in the same gathering with other groups.
That's a great decision. But concerning the other contents of the forum, what was talked about concretely at the forum in Sevres-Chamontana?
So the program was structured on three plenaries on the three big thematics, like mining, fracking, and infrastructure projects. So there were these plenaries where the groups on a certain topic came together and they talked about issues, how they can work together from now on, what's the common things they do. And then there were workshops, like every group could propose a workshop on that field in these three thematics. But also there were groups that just came and on the spot proposed different workshops. Like, there were groups from Germany, it was a group from the Hambach Forest occupation, and even this kind of workshops took place, like not big struggles, but there were groups that came and presented what they do, and we learned a lot from each other. The main idea of the program was not to be too much, too many workshops, but more that people know each other, exchange a lot of information on how they work, on what they work on, and then to see what we can do together. And I think we got to this point that people talked a lot. It was also a nice atmosphere at the forum. So during lunch or during breaks, people were talking and exchanging ideas all the time. So I think from this point of view, it was a really success. Like, to exchange and get connected the groups between them.
It's like definitely more like a gathering of networking than it is an entity in itself that takes action in some way.
It is also an entity. Like, we had a message for the European elections also that was accepted in the forum. And we send it as the forum that gathers all the groups. And also it was a solidarity message for four people that were in prison at the time in Italy, in the NOTAF movement. So we also, as the forum, we send a message of solidarity to them. We want the forum to grow and not to be just a gathering every year. We want this to go through the whole year and see what we can do together in the meantime. So one decision that was taken during the forum is that we'll work together on a really good website that we all use together, and we use it as a tool from now on to have a voice, like united voice, against different problems that will appear. I think it's not just a gathering and it's networking, but this is what we want to be, is to be on long term and to be not once every year, but during the whole year.
Does this website exist already?
No, until now, each group that organized the forum did their own website. Maybe it was not the most efficient way of doing it, but we learned. We understood that it's really hard to do it, especially to do it in so many languages. And then we found people at the forum that are good in making like the websites and really thinking a good platform that can work better. And then we decided not to a new website every year, but to work together to do one. And it's not done yet, it's work in process.
Regarding the struggles that were present at the forum, what was your impression? Are they going forward, or is this very different from country to country? What's the impression you got?
So in Stuttgart, it's an example that the things don't go perfect all the time, and the referendum was actually producing problems to the campaign because it just got the other opinion of the people, not the one that the campaign wanted. Yeah, not all the groups are getting to their goals, maybe. But we talked about all these issues there, and I think things will get better, I hope.
There is an interesting book that appeared in German in the last month on political mediation in respect to such projects that the state tries to use mediation practices to pacify the conflict.
In the struggles?
In the struggles. For example, as happened in Stuttgart 21. With the mediation process that then cut the edge of the very radicalized movement that had been there before. Was this also a topic at the forum?
I didn't participate to any workshop like this, and I don't think it was brought into discussion. Maybe it's a good, it's something that we should check, because as this kind of problems came now, they will come again. And then it's good to know how to deal with these problems. During the forum, we had some discussions on the spot and then one plenary, but maybe it was not enough to really clarify everything. It was more like, okay, we can't have political parties here, and political parties can't get involved in some events in other parts also. So that's the thing, like, in your local context, you can do whatever you think is better for the campaign, but during the forum, which is, it gathers everybody, then it has to be fine for everybody. And then if one group would have problems by being connected in a way with political parties, then we can't accept them. But I think it's necessary, because in Stuttgart, I think they had problems for much longer, and they never talked about these issues. They didn't fix the situation, or they tried to, but they couldn't do it. And now during the forum, it was an opportunity to bring up this discussion. And I think it solved, in a way, some issues also at local level, what happens in Stuttgart, and some things clarified between groups there.
Do you know when the next forum will take place and where?
It is not decided yet. There was some proposals during the closing plenary of the forum to happen in the Basque country or in Turkey. But this is a thing that we still need to decide. And other proposal might come, and then we will take a decision at the moment. But right now, we don't know exactly where this will happen. It was not decided.
To get also an impression from the local struggle in Romania, what is the status now of the struggle in Roșia-Montană?
Okay, so at the moment, the things are pretty fine in a way, because there were the big protests last year in September, and everybody was in the streets against this law that was especially written for the Roșia-Montană project. And right now, this law was rejected forever. And this is a great achievement of the civil society in Romania, I think. Also, it was another law that could have, and that law would have applied to other mining projects in Romania. And that was also rejected by the parliament. Some time ago, there were protests on the day of the vote. It was really sudden. And in the end, we managed to stop them. It was really like a small difference in votes, but we managed to do it because people mobilized. And right now, the situation is good. It's a big focus now on the patrimony of Roșia-Montană, because that would be a thing that would save the place.
You mean to give it a status as nature patrimony, or what does it mean?
It is already a nature patrimony, and it's a very big heritage of Romania from cultural, historical point of view. The thing is that like one of the main goals of the Save Roșia-Montană campaign is to have Roșia-Montană in the UNESCO World Heritage. And now there are a lot of organizations that work on this and try to bring up the focus on the patrimony and to show that this is really a place that needs to be saved and that it's important and that can bring investments also for the area, and on long term would be much better for the local community to do the things in this way, like taking advantage of what's there already and not to destroy everything and in 10 years to have a cyanide lake and and mining tourism, as the company says. Now it's a big focus on that. There is an organization that is working on restorating houses, and they try to get funds for that, like heritage houses. And there is this organization, Europa Nostra. They put Roșia Montană on the list of the 7 most endangered areas in Europe. So now, also through this organization, they will bring funds and experts there to show how good that is, the potential of this area. It's kind of stable situation at the moment. They are not big protests anymore, but we keep on checking all the time what's happening in the legislative process, because there are 3 more laws that might affect the project in the way that it can legalize the project. Even if they don't have all the permits and everything they do at the moment is illegal, this is how we stop them until now, actually, in court, by attacking all the permits they get, because they were illegally given. So the company is not in a good situation right now. They fired almost all the employees in the village, like 400 employees were just fired. And I think the community now starts to change again in a way that people understand that there's no chance for this project to start. And they start to do their own small businesses and like getting involved in tourism, learn how to do tours with the people, and opening their houses to host people or selling milk or things like this, which didn't happen before because they were dependent on the company. And now when everybody's fired, the things are changing, and it's much more quiet in Roșia Montană right now than it was before. It's better, I think. So we are on a good way, but we still have to watch them, because also with the help of the politicians we have, they are very pro this project, and it's gonna be hard to really stop them forever.
Is there anything else you would like to add that didn't come up in this interview yet?
On the Save Roșia Montană website and the website of the forum, there is the final declaration where all the big decisions were put. And I think that's the conclusion of the forum. So if people want to check more things, they should check this website. And that's all.
Then thank you for coming.
Thanks. Also, and I hope I answered all your questions.
This was our interview with Bogdan on the 4th Forum Against Unnecessary Imposed Megaprojects. The website mentioned at the end is roșiamontana.org. That's roșiamontana.org. There you'll just need to click on the banner with the white elephants in the right bar.
Kolektiv Črne luknje podpira boje proti rudnikom zlata v Roši Montani, kakor tudi drugod. Že več kot leto aktivisti zasedajo na primer Hambach Forest, enega zadnjih gozdov v tem delu Nemčije, ki ga želijo oblasti spremeniti v največji odprti kop lignita. Pred kratkim pa se je med drugim začelo sojenje ljudem, ki so se pred letom dni uprli razširitvi rudnika zlata v grškem Halkidikiju, kjer želi ista korporacija kot v Romuniji devastirati ogromne površine za pridobivanje zlata. Tovariši se zaenkrat lahko zagovarjajo iz prostosti, obtožnica jih sicer bremeni sodelovanja v kriminalni organizaciji. Toda, morda kaj več o temu naslednjič.
Napovedujemo revolucijo!
Sicer pa vas pozivamo na demonstracije proti nasilju nad palestinci v petek, jutri ob 18. uri na Kongresnem trgu v Ljubljani. Če pa nimate kaj za početi te počitniške dni oziroma ste brezposelni, pa vam lahko ponudimo četrto transformo, to je tabor v zraven Tolmina. Tokrat se bo transforma dogajala v Soči, pod vasjo Selišča med Tolminom in Kobaridom, potekala pa bo od 19. do 26. julija, tako da vabeni na samoorganiziran kamp Transforma. Evo, mi pa se morda slišimo čez 14 dni.
What's a revolution to you?
to kill their bosses and take their money.
Jebate, kak ti možeš u jednoj demokratskoj državi dizat narod na ustanak?
Hajdar, 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 radio, student.